Praise the Lord. Thank you, David. Thank you, Andre. I'm so grateful for these dedicated pastoral team members that are working so hard to be able to present today's service to you. This is that time I want to invite you to take hold of your Bible. We're going to get into the Word of the Lord today. You're going to find that today's message is in Deuteronomy. So if you get a chance, find the book of Deuteronomy. It is that fifth book in the Bible. You'll see that naturally, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Well, isn't it noteworthy that we've been talking about the church? And last Sunday, we were emphasizing our theme once again, oneness of purpose. And the title of the message was The Fine Art of Going to Church. Well, here we are, we're going to church. It's just looking a little different, aren't we? But the church really, really constitutes people. Ecclesia, the people called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. While we're gathered right now for the common purpose. And today's message, I want to encourage you, it's entitled, Our Home, a Church. So I want to keep in that purpose, but our home and how that can still be very much a part of God's plans to keep us in focus, especially with His Word. So it's a timely message, and I believe it's an important message for you around your home and that place that you call your dwelling. How we can turn our houses to a home and our home to a church. Well, I heard about a story about a cowboy who was just cutting through the plains riding on his horse. And he came across an Indian who had his ear to the ground, and he paused and said, "What are you doing?" And he heard the Indian say, "Four horses, four cowboys, many guns, one stage, one blind rider." And the cowboy said, "That is amazing. You got all that by listening to the ground?" He says, "No, cowboy. Him run over me 2 hours ago." I just thought it. You know, it's interesting. We need to be careful how we are listening to certain things. They can just kind of steamroll us or run us over. And I want to encourage you that it's important that we get a chance to just hear what God has to say to us this very morning. And so, Father, thank you for opening our hearts. Lord, we gather without restrictions, without interference. Lord, we give you our undivided attention. Spirit of the living God, move through the word being spoken, a timely word. And may it not just be something that we enjoy hearing, but let it bear life, especially in our homes that really are intended to be churches for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody once said that this next decade is going to be a decade of change. The 20s, 2020, going to be a decade of change. Everything that we know and value will be changing. Values will change. People's directions will be changed. People will change politically. People will even be changing what they feel is most important to them with regards to sociological change. Economic changes will be taking place. In this sea of change, we really need something that is a solid direction, very important for us. And I want to suggest to you that that solid direction should not be based on culture. It should be based on a biblical conviction. Because culture changes. What we feel is something that's important for us today will not be that way in this sea of change, in this decade of change. If we just float around with different changing value system, then it's really whatever anybody says must be true. Let's stick to the Word of God because the Word of God does not change. Well, we have here today in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm inviting you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's here that Moses is giving the second direction or second declaration of the law. That's literally what Deuteronomy means, the second giving of the law. It's his goodbye song, his declaration to the nation of Israel. They're about to go into the promised land, and he wants to remind them how to maintain in that land of promise, to be continuing to receive the blessings of the Lord is so significant. And I want to share what I feel are five ways really to turn our houses into a home and our home into a church is so important for us. Let's look at verse 1. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandsons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Let me just take a moment here because it's important. If you're a grandparent, you have a very important role. Your role is not done yet. You have some significant things still to apply. You are responsible still, not only as parents even, to teach your son, your daughter, but to teach your children from your sons or your daughters the word of the Lord, the importance of that. How wonderful, how much we have to gain from our grandparents, and how much more so godly grandparents. What a lasting legacy. But I like it here, and verse 2 is saying that we have a responsibility to command, to teach the commandments of the Lord, not just to our children, but to our grandchildren. Let's go on to verse 3, because I'm going to follow through all the way to verse 9. And it says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and all shall talk of them when they sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, let's take a look here, because as we look, once again, I'm seeing here that God's primary way of teaching is not the church. It is not in the temple. It's not in a Sunday school class. God's primary way of teaching is right there with parents. The location is the home, and the means is talking to children, talking to people. Let's take a look, because the importance of what we're seeing here this very day, five ways to turn your home into a church. Let's take a look at number one. Our home is where God is top priority. Let's go back and let's look at verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. A home is a place where God is top priority. It's interesting to note here because it says the Lord is one. Dealing with that, that is called the Shema in the Hebrew word. Literally, it's by the first word you see in verse 4. The word Shema is hear. You want to hear this. You want to hear what God is saying. And what is most important, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's not just talking about one, it's meaning one and only. The Lord our God is one and only. Now that's significant because many of us love God, but we also have other gods, little g. It's not made with granite. We have gods that somehow are of our mind or our fantasies or of our positions or our material possessions. We love God, but we also have these other gods that might follow. We have our area that we want to have a better prestige in life, or we have a desire to want to accomplish more. But the Bible says that the Lord our God, is the one and only, first in line and no one behind. So it's interesting when I take a look at my sweet wife, Ainsley, and can you imagine if I went up to Ainsley and I said, honey, I want you to know I love you and you are my one and only. But honey, second is Gertrude, third is Betty Lou, and fourth is a little bit of a toss-up between this woman that I saw at the grocery store and the checkout clerk lady. I just don't know. But honey, I just want you to know you are number one. Do you think she would react how? Oh, that just makes me so good, Paul, that I'm number one. I don't think so. She'd pin my ears to the floor. And you know that'd be... And many times that's what we do with God. God, I love you. You are number one. But second, oh Lord, is my job. And man, I need that promotion. I'll do anything for that promotion. And I really, number four would probably be the lifestyle of the rich and famous. And I'll work the extra hours to accomplish that. Well, we see here a home where really God is honored. Top priority. He is one and only. So significant. How is that laid out practically? That's important for us. How does that look that God is top priority? Well, let's just take a look. When relationships come into our lives, we want to look at anything that would possibly be from the Lord. Is this relationship from God? Is this opportunity from God? That's important because in John chapter 3, verse 27, John 3, 27, I know you'll write that down, but it says a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Is that relationship or is that job from God? Sometimes we could say, well, that's just too good to turn away, and we end up having a lot that we can sustain and hold, but end up having empty hearts, maybe even costing us our family. And we could be successful without God. I'm not saying we cannot be successful without God. Many people have been successful without God. The thing is that those who go after that kind of success have maneuvered themselves, have worked so hard politically, have been deceitful in ways, and they've acquired some form of success, but their souls are bankrupt. Jesus was the one in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, when he said, what will a man give in exchange for its soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I'll tell you, there's a difference between success and good success. I like where God's word says so clearly in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. 1, verse 8 of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in the book. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I like success that's good, and it's right, and it's righteous. It's interesting as we note here, because success isn't from God. Please don't take it. Don't take it. You want to make sure, Lord, is this from you and is that from you? That's so important. God is top priority. Some have been given free drugs for free. Some have been given stolen merchandise. Oh, this must be from God. Some have given sexual relationships for free. Therefore, be careful. All those things that you might say are free, if it's not from the Lord, don't do it. Don't do it. Make sure it's from God, that God is the source. Then you can say in our home, God is top priority. As we look here, number two, second way of making our home into a church is where our home is the starting point of the love of God. Our home is the starting point of the love of God. Verse 5, back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Isn't that interesting? You're making it personal. These words that I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. It's a personal commitment, personal application. But we see in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting? The beauty with which God tries to encourage people to step into following His commands, to obey the Lord, really comes from loving God. We could literally say loving leads to leading our lives fully. Love drives the living. If you really want to live life and enjoy it, love is so wonderful, so sweet. Isn't it amazing how our children, when they know that parents love them, they really can overlook a lot of our mistakes. How many parents have made mistakes? Go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand. Can you see it there? Yeah. If you're in your room and you're with other people and you didn't raise your hand, dear mom, dear dad, grandparent, you didn't raise your hand, you can now raise your hand because you just lied. We all make mistakes, don't we? We do. But when children or anybody knows we love them, they really can handle mistakes so much better. It's important that people know that we love them. People don't follow leaders because they lack mistakes. People follow leaders because they know that leader loves them and is concerned for them. When we take a look here and it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Wow, that love is invasive. It just literally means it's taking over everything of your life. It's coming to that point and it's involving everything. No bounds. It's covering. It's as if the doctor says the cancer in your body is invasive. It means it's now taking over and there's no constraints. We want the love of God to be that way for us personally. When you set a home where the love of God is that starting point, you watch how life starts to flow. I just love it. I love loving the Lord. I love love. But how rich and sweet it is when that love starts to permeate everything that involves my life. Families feel so secure when the leadership in the home loves God. Kids feel secure when mom, dad love the Lord. Parents feel secure when their adult children love God. I am so secure when I know my children are walking in a love relationship with Almighty God. How do we know? Because when those two levels of decisions that really come into play when we know we are loving the Lord, there's two levels of decisions that sometimes will face a person's life. Here's the first level of a decision, the decision between right and wrong. How about that? Can you imagine if we don't even know the difference between right and wrong, we're still in a very immature stage in our relationship with God. Because that's important. We want to make sure when we love the Lord, it is not a tough decision to choose between right and wrong. Not a tough decision. So if that's settled, then it goes to the second level of making decisions. And that's a decision between what's wise and what's unwise. We're going to be given a lot of decisions, especially moving forward in the season that we find our nation or our community or your very home or your very future, that we need to make decisions. And the decisions we'll make can't say is necessarily sinful. God's going to let us make those decisions, but we want to make wise decisions. Do we want to buy that thing and then be in debt by paying extra interest? Those decisions are so important for us to make. If you lack wisdom, a couple of ways. First, it's great to read the book of Proverbs and gain wisdom by reading Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. You might pick a chapter according to the day of the month that you happen to be getting up in the morning. Also, James chapter 1, verse 5 says to us, James 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I like that verse. It's not so much about gaining wisdom. I think it's more about God's generosity. Who gives liberally? He's not a stingy person and does not reproach us when we come and say, Daddy, I really don't know which direction to go. Will you give me wisdom on this one? Ask, and it will be given. I want to encourage you, ask God for direction on that. The third area about turning our home into a church is our home is a place of daily discipleship. Daily discipleship. Let's look at verse 6 once again. Let's go back. I'm in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Interesting to note, would you just see that with me? The discipleship that happens here. There's a difference between telling people what to do and really showing people how to do it. That's an important area. helping people. We see in the scripture, it says that we're to disciple our family when we talk to them, when we walk with them, when we lie down, when we rise up. Man, and it even says here, when we are talking and referencing to our hands, we'll bind them around our hands as a signet, even between our eyes. Our hands, make sure the word of God is applied to what you do. Between our eyes, even applied by the way we think. I just like that so much, how the word of God is applicable even in our daily routine. Everything is modeled out as scripture is saying. Let the word of God be taught to our children by these approaches. I just want to remind you, many times when we have our parenting seminars, there's a difference between discipleship and discipline. Two separate things. You want to disciple a mistake. Spilled milk, that's a mistake. Honey, this is how we want to have you make sure that mistake doesn't happen again in handling your food. And don't make sure you spill your milk again. When they go ahead and intentionally spill their milk, that is an intentional point of rebellion. And that's where you want to discipline rebellion. You know they know better. And now an action has to happen. But we're talking discipleship, the importance of that. Let me give you five key ways or areas in which we want to disciple our children according to the word of the Lord here that we have. Here they are, five key ways. The first, disciple them to love God. Look at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's important. We've discussed that. Model that to your children. Disciple them to love God. Secondly, disciple them to remember to thank God. Boy, that's so important to have our children remember to thank God. I've listed there in reading, if you move down a little bit in chapter 6, look at verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12. It's a reminder when they come into the problem, don't forget to thank God. Verse 10 says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out of wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Well, that's important, isn't it? To remember to thank the Lord is so significant for us to do that. Don't forget to give thanks to God, even in the midst of those times that we're waiting patiently for his supply. Also want to add, too, disciple them, our children, in the ways of God. Number 3, disciple them to know the ways of God. Let's continue on with chapter 6, verse 13. It says, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. Now that title or that word oath literally means his ways. You shall take oaths to say, we will go in God's ways. That's important. Teach children to know God's ways for themselves. For themselves. Hey, this is the way of the Lord. This is the way you should go. Now, it's interesting. If you go to Yellowstone National Park, they'll often post a sign that says, do not feed the animals. I mean, in particular, the bears. Because they'll say, we want them to learn to feed themselves, not be reliant upon the visitors into the park. A lot of times, Christians, we find, are so entrenched on receiving handouts that they've never known the ways of the Lord. It might even look this way and say, you know, when we do have a need, we call up and say, hey, nobody is helping me. And we get mad at God. And then somehow God will come visit us. I like that about him, doesn't he? He's such a master teacher. And he'll say, listen, you don't know my ways. You are so reliant upon other people providing for you. Learn my ways. Ask of me. Come and I'll show you. Isn't it great when our children know that? Learning God's ways. Number four, disciple them on how to choose a mate. Now, I just want to throw that out there. So significant. Chapter 7, verse 2 through 4 is listed there. He brings that up, choosing your mate, teaching them. And I can't tell you the amount of heartache I've seen where people choose poorly the wrong mate. And after years, they hit a wall and things are not very good. Look at what God encourages the nation of Israel. I'm in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 7. And it says, "And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter to your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so that the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly." That's a sobering element. It's important for us as parents in our homes, that our churches teach our children how to choose a mate. So important for us to take a look at that, the significance of that. Number five, disciple them to deal with peer pressure. That's important too. In our day and age, we're finding so much cyberbullying. It's very important that we teach them how to have a secure approach in their relationship with those around them in Christ, but especially in the Word of the Lord. Look at verse 5 here. I'm in Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, 6, and 7. Talks about, "But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." What a gracious God. What a kind God that he is. So being careful not to let pressure cause us to be swayed to depart from the Lord is so significant for us. You know, I often, every now and then, will bring out a little leaflet that I thought was worth noting, because it is from the Houston, Texas Police Department. It's 5 ways on how to ruin your children. 99% effective, how to ruin your children. Let me read it to you. I think it's worth noting. Number one, begin with infancy to give your child everything he wants. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. Number three, never give him any spiritual training. Can you imagine? This is from a police department. That's what really popped out my eyes. Number four, let him await until he's 21, and then let him decide for himself any decisions he's going to make. Number four, avoid using the word wrong. It may develop a serious guilt complex, and they should feel that they are okay, and it's other people's fault when things go wrong. Number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around the house so he will be experienced in throwing responsibility onto everyone else. Can you imagine? Well, there it is. That's 5 ways on how to ruin your child. Well, we certainly see things a little differently, don't we, today? Number four, let's take a look, again, ways to turn your home into a church. Our home is a place where God's word is lived out in lifestyle. I'm back at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's take a look at verse 8 once again. "And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Now notice here for a moment, "they shall bind them." You shall bind them on that sign of your hand, things that you do with the Word of God. "And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." The way you think, let the Word of God work through the way you think. In other words, let the Word of God develop your lifestyle. People really do learn best by observation and by examples lived out. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 even encourages us not to let anybody just downplay even a person's youthfulness, but be an example to the believers. It says, in speech, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I like that, don't you? Letting your home be a place where God's word is lived out in examples of a lifestyle is so significant and so important. God's word affects the way we live. It should be that way, so important. And number five, want to encourage you that our homes are we're a place where the parents lead by spiritual authority. If we look here at verse 9, it says, and you shall write them, the word of God, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Would you consider for a moment here what this is just referring to? The doorposts, the entranceway into your home, and gates does signal authority. When we look here, parents leading, not just with authoritarian hand, but spiritual authority is so important. Do you pray for your children? Do you observe what is coming into the home? Is that a good spirit that's coming into your home? Are you watching things that can be completely opposite of the Word of God? Maybe you might say, well, you know, that's entertaining, but that, man, that's really a spirit of criticism. I don't want my children, I don't want to be fed that kind of spirit, or a spirit of lust. Oh, I feel that coming off of the airwaves or the forms of entertainment or my reading material. Or a spirit of materialism where we say, I covet that stuff. What is wrong with me? I can't get it off my mind until I acquire or purchase that, even to the point of going to debt. Wow. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and verse 4, it says, though we walk in the flesh, though we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh or carnal, but mighty in God. When he wrote that under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he was under a lot of oppression that was coming. And he was determined to find out, is what is coming at me just of human origin? Or is this of another spirit that's coming after me? And he went on and saying, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What he was saying there as well, he says, are those people thinking thoughts that are downright demonic? And am I thinking that same way too? Those thoughts could be coming on my thoughts. I want to bring my thoughts obedient even to the Word of God. So parents that lead in authority in their home are so significant. Be careful. Dads, be discerning. It's beautiful for us as fathers to make a decision. Let's err on the side of righteousness. Let's protect our homes. Watch out what goes into your home through the doors. Watch out what comes in. You have that authority, mom, dads, to say we will not let that come into our home. You single person, how wonderful for you. We thank God for our single Christians and those who are watching. How privileged we are to make those decisions right and start to live a good foundation and place our lives in proper steps as we start to enjoy other relationships that are around us. But let's be careful. We do have an adversary. We do have an adversary. And our nation needs us to be strong. Our families, and especially our homes, that our churches need to be strong. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, especially at this time, knowing that your adversary, the devil, is really like a roaring lion. He's crouched and ready to pounce. He's really waiting for an opportune time. Be careful about those things. Watch out. So the great opportunities that we have, this is doing church a little differently, at least in this stretch of time that we have. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on us as a community. Let's hold true to the direction of a firm foundation based on the Word of God. But let's be those that model as well as teach the Word of God to one another. Let's recall what God's Word says to us. Let me pray even now how significant that is, that Lord, you would work. Oh Lord, that you would work. And that you would speak to our hearts those things that we captured in our time together. Lord, we heard the Spirit of God through the gift of prophecy that we need to take your word, the good news, the gospel that's been preached to us, and mix it now with faith that it profits us. Lord, do that. We're believing that what you spoke in certain areas and facets of our own lives and our families, we mix it now saying, I believe that's God speaking to me and to our home. And that, Lord, profit the homes, profits the individual. Give each of our Christians a successful, good success because we meditate on your word and we believe it. We thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Well, friends, I want to remind you as we really bring this message to a conclusion, I want to welcome each of you to make sure that you're a part of our Newsweek. You're receiving our information via electronic emails, mass emails. One of the things I want to encourage for us who are watching here today and all of Hope Chapel, that we get a chance, we'll be sending Monday a paper, really, document that's described our home, a church. It's entitled Memorizing Scripture, that we want to memorize the word, we want to meditate on the word, and then we want to minister the word. And you'll see very easy steps how to do just that. I know that there are many things that are coming to the public, what to prepare for, how to protect yourself. But I want you to know the Word of God brings a soothing and a confidence and a protection that only God can bring. The Word of God is God Himself. And with that paper, we're going to have four scriptures that are listed there for dealing with anxiety and worry, for dealing with even the assurance of salvation, dealing with confidence, or even dealing with discouragement. You'll be receiving scriptures four per month. We hope that you'll memorize at least one verse per week, and that as you memorize that, you meditate on that. Let the Word of God wash over your soul. Let the Word of God deliver you from tyranny and oppression, depression and fear. Let the Word of God then become a part where you pass it on to others and set people free. That's our assignment as Hope Chapel. We've been asked, our president of our nation's doing a great job saving people's lives, but the church is responsible for saving the souls of people. That's our responsibility. Will you join me? Let's pass the Word of God on. Memorize it. Meditate on it to where you have it good. It's transitioned and transformed your life and changed the culture and environment of your home. Then be prepared to minister that to somebody that you know really is needing help. Well, I want to thank you for joining us here at Hope Chapel. We're here for you. I want to encourage you while I welcome Ainsley back here with me. I want to just welcome you, first of all. We do have our church phone line available. We will be peeling off messages that are available for you to just offer in any way, request that you come and need assistance or prayer with somebody giving you a call. Go ahead and take a look at that number. It's on our website as well. We want to just encourage you before we just pray you off a blessing. Ainsley?
Yes. Paul, thank you for the wonderful message today. And what a great encouragement to memorize scripture and find our hope in that. As this message ends and when we say goodbye, you'll see Pastor Paul come back on the screen and give some instructions if you'd like to give today. So please watch that. And additionally, you can always, if it's more convenient for you, mail a check to Hope Chapel if you'd like to do that at our P.O. Box 548, and our zip code is 92648. So if you like to do that, thank you. You're welcome to.
Well, at this time, let me pray you off a blessing. We pray you off a blessing. Paul and Ainsley Harmon, we love you. We do. We've been praying for you for a number of days. Yes. During these transition times and these days of adjustment, the Lord's going to bring a peace upon you. So, Father in heaven, thank you. We are so grateful that we have a Father in heaven. We just now speak your blessing. And you've encouraged us as the priests of God to pray this kind of blessing over the people of God. Let the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. We love you very much, and we thank you for watching and joining us today. God bless you. Goodbye for now. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.